Hello, Stan State. Welcome to the Taking Care of You podcast. My name is Julia Rosas Nieto, and I am a licensed marriage and family therapist.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Staffaro, and I'm a licensed clinical social worker. We are both counselors that work at Counseling and Psychological Services on campus, also known as CAPS.
We are back with another installment addition to the Self-Compassion series, where we will explore and discuss self-compassion practices. In this episode, we will take some time to know more about the campus organizations, fraternity sorority life, and student leadership growth.
You're listening to the Taking Care of You podcast.
We wanted to give our special guest an opportunity to introduce herself.
Sure. Well, hello, everyone. My name is Julie Anaya, and I am the coordinator for student organizations, which includes fraternity and sorority life here at Stan State. Working in student leadership and development has been an incredible passion of mine, and I'm really lucky, I think, to be there and being able to work with our students. I've been at Stan State for quite some time, whether it's as a student, as an undergrad, a graduate student, or professionally, and I've worked in a couple different departments. But being able to work with students on a daily basis has been an incredible experience so far.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for inviting me. This is amazing. Self-criticism and self-compassion, you have to pay attention to those differences. Asking if you're good enough is always really difficult, super common for people. Mm-hmm. But understanding that self-compassion and just asking what's good for you mm-hmm. is important, is incredibly special to be able to sometimes have the confidence to ask that.
Yes. I know, like, one of the things that I like to remind students when I'm meeting with them is, like, to ask yourself, you know, what do I need yeah. right now? And of course, that's part of some of our practices mm-hmm. that we do. It's like, you be mindful of, like, what's going on, like, oh, this is really hard right now. And then, you know, remind yourself that the, you know, common humanity that other yeah. people suffer. And then, like, what do I need right now?
Yeah.
Do I need a nap?
That's self-kindness.
Yes. That's always the answer. Absolutely.
Go ahead, Julia. Sorry.
No, that's okay. I was just going to say that that self-criticism reminds me of the inner critic that we all have inside. Mm. But especially as our students, you know, most of the time they question themselves, they doubt their abilities. They ask themselves, am I going to pass this class? Am I going to fail it? Am I going to do this? Am I even going to graduate? I had a lot of students be so anxious about whether, you know, they were going to graduate or not this semester. Mm-hmm. They were afraid that they were going to have to retake another class and that inner critic would come out.
It's so funny that you say that because I, you know, it must have been on social media, Instagram, TikTok somewhere where I heard someone say, my inner critic is being loud today when mm-hmm. I'm being super critical or, you know, we're having a day. And I have said that to myself a couple of times already. And it just reminds me that it's not mm-hmm. my worth. It's my inner critic is being loud today.
Yes. And it sounds like you noticed a difference.
Absolutely. It kind of gave that permission to just take a minute. And sometimes that's the hardest thing to do is take that minute because it's just a day. And my mm-hmm. inner critic is being loud today. And it made a bit of a difference.
And it kind of reminds me too of, like, when we're, like, really stressed with something, oh, yeah. like, even if it's good things, like a baby shower or yes. something, like, you're just more stressed. There's more things going on. And then with finals and things like that, like, your inner critic can get bigger
yes.
just because mm-hmm. that you're the stress level. And then if you're not sleeping enough, you're not yes. eating, you know, all of those things play into it too.
They do. They definitely do. But I like that Julie kind of externalized it, right? That's mm-hmm. a way of externalizing it, mm-hmm. you know, and in a way it reminds me of internal family systems. That's something new we're learning in our mm-hmm. self-compassion training where, you know, we all have this inner child and sometimes we create memories and we get stuck in those memories. And a lot of the time, the inner child in that memory tends to be a younger version of ourselves, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. That yes. inner child is so important to pay attention to.
Yes.
So our first question is, tell us a little about your experience working in your department.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mentioned I've been a student. I was an undergrad here from 2006 to 2010, and I worked in the department since then.
Wow, that's great.
It was an incredible experience being able to be here early on, and it was one of those experiences that I was going through Panel and X-Rody recruitment, and the director of student leadership at the time was working with the group that hosted the event. And she said, I'm looking for a student assistant. And I said, well, I'm looking for a job. That was history. That was it. Working in student leadership and development. I've worked in new student orientation as an orientation leader. And working with organizations, fraternity and sorority life has just kind of shaped the path that my life has been on and has taken. It's an incredible experience being able to work with students and see their lives change. I did counselor education for grad school here at Stanislaus as well. And being able to be in that counselor-like role for these students, I didn't necessarily realize was part of the experience, part of the job, right? I knew working in student leadership and development early on, my Greek advisor and the other people that worked in the office, we would often go to them as students and have those counselor-like conversations and talk about growth as a student and just all of the things that we were going through at the time. And now coming back to the department and being in that role where I'm able to give back has been such an incredible experience. And there are moments in your life that change the direction that you go in. And working in student leadership and development from 2006 to now is definitely one of those.
Wow, what a long time.
Yeah. It's funny because people always ask, you know, how long have you been in your role? And I always pause for a second because I'm like, well, I've been in the department since, you know, 2006. But then I left to be a counselor in the Bay Area for a while. But I also worked in academic advising. And so all of those portions have kind of shaped the want and the desire to come back and just give back to these students who shaped my experience.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you so much. Our next question. Mm-hmm. How do you think self-compassion would help the students that you have worked with?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Students have so much responsibility today. They are dealing with different positions. They are dealing with school and work and taking care of their social lives and of themselves. And self-compassion is something that it's not the first thought when you wake up in the morning, right? For our students, there's so much multitasking going on. And it's so important for them to take a minute to realize that it does help them every day in every aspect of their lives. I work with so many different students that can do it all, right? I work with students who have multiple jobs and have 15 to 20 units and just, you know, are taking this immense amount of classes and all of the extracurriculars. It's so important for them to be able to take the time to just reflect and to be able to say, okay, I don't have to do it all. Maybe I want to, but being able to take that time and reflect and say, how am I taking care of myself? Or why am I so busy? Why am I always constantly having this need to fill my time? And I do that as well. And so it's really wonderful when I'm able to have those conversations with students and be able to say, are you taking care of yourself? Are you filling your time not only with all of these wonderful things that you're doing, but are you taking time for yourself? I've seen students get burnt out super easy and quickly, but they just want to help. They just want to make sure their organization is thriving and surviving, and it takes a toll on them because I remember what it was like to run the organization, but also you have homework, you have a job, you have all of these things, and it comes along with the experience, but we don't teach them how to take care of themselves. We teach them how to run their organizations and how to, you know, study through classes and how to be successful in your academics. But I think it's super easy to forget this self-compassion is just as important.
I know in our classes, you know, they've talked about like how self-compassion is really like a core for, I think, mostly all of the types of therapy.
Oh,
like it's at the core of all of them. And they've done so much research on just self-compassion and how it helps with building resiliency and just everything, decreasing stress, decreasing depressive episodes and anxiety and everything. But something else she said reminded me of, remember that we had one speaker that came to our class and he was talking about, he did a lot of brain scans. Ooh, and he was talking
neurology.
About, yes, this default mode network that we have in our brain and how a lot of us are like busy, 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 busy.
Absolutely.
Because when you're alone with yourself for more than like, how many seconds did he say? It was like 6 or 12 seconds. It was so quick that your mind starts going to like, oh, I have to do this. I have to do that. Or what is that, you know, judging yourself or thinking about what other people are judging you about, that your mind just starts going to all of those things.
Sitting with yourself is slightly the scariest thing in the entire world. Like as a counselor, having that silence is, you have to learn how to do that. You have to learn how to be okay with silence. And yeah, that's terrifying.
Absolutely.
Our next question. Have you noticed that students deal with a critical voice, being judgmental and motivating themselves with tough love rather than self-compassion? You know, kind of like, oh, I'm a failure. I'm not good enough.
Yeah, it is sadly common for students to come into my office and say, you know, I'm the president of this organization, but I need to take a step back because I'm not doing well academically. I want my organization to survive, but I need to do well in order to be here. I feel so lucky to be able to have those conversations or for them to even step foot in my office to feel comfortable to say, okay, I'm safe in this space and I'm able to be here. I'm able to have this conversation. But students, I think now more than ever, have that critical voice. There's so many different things that are impacting them, not just here at school, but I mean, social media, just outside factors. There's countless things that contribute to that inner critic and that voice that, you know, tough love is one thing, but it can change really quickly rather than self-compassion. And listening is something that I am constantly trying to do when these students walk in my office. And when I hear those things, it's hard to hear those, but it's also a great opportunity to have those conversations. It's an incredible opportunity to sit with those students and in that moment, ask, how are you taking care of yourself? How are you delegating, maybe? How are you making sure that your organization isn't held up by just you? How is the rest of your board or your student leaders really taking and sharing responsibility? It's incredibly important for them to be critical of themselves. And taking that time, they teach me, and I have some students who are fabulous at this, right? So I think there's that spectrum. I have students who are working on that, and I have students who do really well with their time and balance and are self-compassionate, and I learn from them. And it's an incredible opportunity to be able to see that as well from students who have just learned some really great skills and have been able to internalize them and be able to really balance. And I'm so I'm impressed with some of the students who just have the ability to recognize that and say, you know what? I need to take a step back. I need to delegate. I'm noticing this about myself and I'm going to focus on me. And I love being able to learn from our students who recognize that as well.
And it's not selfish to focus on yourself. I think that so many people feel like that, huh?
Right. And I think that's beautiful because with self-compassion, there's also this part of fear self-compassion. And with fear self-compassion, we kind of have to say no. And sometimes we kind of have to say yes to ourselves. It also reminds me of a book I read to my daughter, you know, every so often. And one of my favorite quotes that it mentions is, let's be brave enough to try new things. But let's also be brave enough to step back when it's not for us.
And we want that for our kids, for our students, for everything. We want them to be able to have those tools that are sometimes really hard to practice or do.
And one more question. Do you have any books or resources that you would recommend to our students?
Yeah. So there are two that I was thinking recently that I've kind of come to uncover and identify as two really helpful tools. One of them being the book on emotional intelligence, and the other being the Essential Enneagram. Through these two resources, I've learned and come to just realize how important it is to know about yourself and to be able to understand how that affects everything that you do in life, right? Understanding that your emotional intelligence really plays into how you study best, how you learn, how you develop, how to take care of yourself. Understanding how you function as a person really allows you to be cognizant of what you're like with other people and what you're like professionally or in the classroom or organizational communication. And so, you know, I think when we understand those functions about ourselves and understand our personality type, it kind of gives us the permission to say, okay, I'm a mediator. That is who I am at my core. And how does that show up in work, in class, in social circles? Am I always a yes person? Am I able to say no? You know, I can't do that at this moment, but let me find some time or let me figure out what that looks like. And that's so important for our students to realize early on and to be able to feel comfortable with, because once they are able to practice that, they get better at it. And they have this innate ability to just, I don't know, there's something about this generation that just is accepting and they're just open. They give themselves permission to take care of themselves and be self-compassionate. And I admire that.
I like that you said that, the practice, yes. the practice part.
Practice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because practicing, yes. If we practice these things, and even though like Julie and I have done a lot of these practices already, but even though you've already done them, you do them again, you get something different every time.
Every time. Practice doesn't make perfect, but it makes better practice. Yeah.
I love it. Or it makes it more familiar, or the ability to feel comfortable with using that as a coping tool or any kind of, you know, coping skill out
there. Absolutely. And it can be scary at first.
Yes.
And that's okay. Once maybe you get over just that small hill, then you're able to take that bigger step next time.
I know. I think one of the, I guess, scarier things that could be with self-compassion is like when you do some of the practices, you might have a realization that maybe you didn't get a lot of self-compassion, maybe growing up or in current relationships or whatever. And then it could be, you know, kind of emotional sometimes but what's wonderful about it is we can give that to ourselves.
Yes. Yes. And we also kind of have to be aware and explore backdraft. Right.
Yes.
Where we feel like we're trying these practices, and I guess it could happen with any other coping skill, right? But we try and we feel like we're not improving, we're not getting there, or we can't complete this activity. And a lot of the times, you know, some of us will experience that backdraft where we're kind of pushing back. There's that little bit of resistance, and that's okay too. It's part of the journey.
We always tell everybody, you know, push yourselves outside of the comfort zone, and, you know, that's where the good stuff happens. But it is, nobody talks about how scary that can be, right? Mm-hmm. And how scary it is to take that step outside the comfort zone or to practice in real life these tools. It's very easy to say, you know, let's do this or let's do that. But the in real life when no one is looking practice is the hard part.
Thank you again, Julie, for coming today and sharing so much information, not just with our department, but with our students out there. We are getting ready to move forward with our practice of the day. Today's practice is called self-appreciation. And just a reminder, we would like our audience to also participate for this practice, not just our guest. And if you would like to participate, all you need is a safe space and a place where you can just lay down or stand up or maybe just sit down. And remember that if you do decide to do any kind of meditation or relaxation while you're standing up, just try to go ahead and lean in against the wall to remove some of the pressure from your neck area all the way to your shoulder area. You also kind of want to give the disclaimer that sometimes mindfulness and deep breathing can be triggering. So make sure that you take care of yourself. And you can do this by simply asking, what do I really need in this moment? And that can be maybe taking a break from this practice. It could also be pressing pause, or it can be just, you know, completely not listening to this. That's totally fine. Let's go ahead and get started with this activity. First of all, just try finding a relaxing position, a comfortable position. Feel free to move some items around you, or perhaps just doing some stretches, maybe stretching your arms, your legs. And once you've found that comfortable position and you're ready, gently close your eyes. Also, a reminder that if at all through with this activity, you feel like your mind wanders around, remind yourself that that's totally normal. We all do it, even us as professionals. Just feel free to enjoy that moment. And when you're ready, feel free to join us. Take about 2 or 3 deep breaths. Just normal breathing. Now try putting your hands on your heart, or use another soothing touch as a gesture of support and self-kindness. For just a few seconds, feel the warmth of that soothing touch. Now feel free to put your hands back, or also keep him there in your soothing touch if you would like for the rest of this activity. Think of 3 to 5 things you appreciate about yourself. As you do this, the first few things that come to mind might be somewhat superficial. Try and see if you can open up to what you really deep down like and appreciate about yourself. Please take some time, just a few seconds, to be honest with yourself and really identify what you appreciate about yourself. Go ahead and take some time to just focus on them. Perhaps repeat them for just a few seconds in your mind. Consider each of these positive qualities and make space for that, allowing your experience to be just as it is. How is that experience for both of you?
It's amazing. Just to be able to take a second and breathe. Your voice is amazing. Let me just say that. I love it. I was like, I could go to sleep to this. This is amazing. But it's, we don't do that enough. It's okay to do that. That is the self-compassion. That is necessary to take the time to reflect, to breathe, to be grateful, and to just send that gratitude through the airwaves to those people that deserve it, that have helped contribute where you are today. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Absolutely. And being part of this experience. I think I agree with you. I think, you know, there's a big message here that lets us know that we do have good qualities. A lot of the time we focus so much on the inner critic that we believe we're not good enough for anything. But if we do take a few seconds to realize that, wait a second, I do have a few good qualities in myself, and accepting that and believing in that. And I love that it said, it doesn't mean that you're better than others, and it doesn't mean you're always going to have these good qualities. It just means that you do have them too. And I think I really like that from this message, right? Also, that the gratefulness, you're right. How many, you know, how much do we really kind of focus on that? We're so busy that we don't really focus on gratefulness.
Right. Yeah, I liked that's what came up for me. That's what I wrote on my little thing, gratitude. Mm-hmm. Just for like the practice of even thinking about like, well, what are my good qualities? Like even just thinking of that, which I know for some people might be kind of hard, you know, but everybody has some good qualities. So being able to focus on those and, you know, they do, of course, they've had research on that too, right? Like if we focus on, you know, positive things, you know, about ourselves, like it's better or in general, right? Like,
right. Two, or writing it in a journal, three things that you're grateful for and the research that's connected to that and, you know, all the positives about it.
Yeah. Even as simple as just reminding yourself like, hey, I've got food, I've got shelter, I've got clothes. Like there are times when I catch myself and I'm like, I'm grateful just to have those minimal things, you know, and then you can work your way to reminding yourself, okay, yes, I've got good qualities. My inner critic doesn't have to be that loud. So I really appreciate that.
And your voice is great. I know when we were doing our self-compassion group, some of our students were like, oh my gosh, you guys should do a podcast.
Yes, that's how we got this idea.
That's how we were like, we should.
I love it. Yeah, it's incredible. That's a talent right there.
Well, thank you.
You can charge people for the recordings.
I know, right? Your kids must be so happy when reading books at night or what? They're out. It's not a two book. It's a one book and you're done.
Yes. Actually, my firstborn, my daughter, she's 5 years old. She will not go to sleep until after I sing to her.
Oh, how cute. Now we need to hear the singing.
That's incredible. She's very lucky.
Oh, thank you.
So we would like to close with a poem.
But remember to stay kind to yourself.
In a time that would have us believe there is always more to strive for, more to accumulate, more enlightenment to reach, the most radical stance we can take is enoughness. What if we quit trying to be spiritual and aspired to be human instead? What if there is nothing to fix because we are already whole? What if there was no time to prove ourselves because we're consumed with marveling at life? What if there is no reason to hold back our gifts because they are meant to be given? What if every morsel, every glance, every moment, and every breath is a miracle of enough? By the principle of enoughness, Toko Pa. Thank you so much for listening. This podcast is for informational purposes and does not substitute for mental health care from a licensed professional. If you are in need of more support and are enrolled at Stan State, contact CAPS at 209-667-3381. You can also follow us on Instagram at Stan State CAPS to see our upcoming groups and workshops. You can find this podcast and other Stan State podcasts online at csustan.edu/podcasts. You can also listen and download past episodes on your favorite podcasting platform. So be sure to follow and subscribe for the new episode alerts.